For the first time in my life, I knelt beside my bed and prayed. Gideon was on a bus traveling to a speaking engagement in a distant city, and his seatmate was a college professor from Canada who claimed to be an atheist. Gideon said to the atheist, "I admire your faith. I don't have enough faith to be an atheist." The atheist was sort of stunned and said, But how do you prove there's a God?" And of course, that was the opening that Gideon desired, and he opened the Bible and began to show him why it's so much easier to believe in a God, a creator, an all-wise creator that made us and everything we see, than to believe we crawled out from under a rock somewhere as a one-cell being and we evolved. Gideon said when he got off the bus that at least that atheist had some things to think about. But 2 weeks later, Gideon got back on a bus to travel home, and that atheist was on the bus. The atheist came to him and said, "I got off at the next stop, and I went to 4 or 5 bookstores looking for a Bible with no success." He said, "I went to my hotel room and knelt beside my bed for the first time in my life and prayed and asked God to show me where I could get a Bible." And he excitedly opened his briefcase and said he did. He pulled out a hotel Bible like this one. He said, "God placed this Bible on my nightstand." Well, you and I might think he stole that Bible out of that hotel room that night, but no, he was right. God did place that Bible in that hotel room. With your help as churches and our help as Gideons, God placed it where it was needed most. Psalms 119 verse 11 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Psalms 119:105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." I didn't come here today to lift up the Gideons, though it may seem like it. I come to lift up Jesus Christ and his word. Gideons are born-again members of a local Bible-believing church. We're a Christian business and professional men's association with about 250,000 members, including our wives, the auxiliary. And we operate in, we've got camps or groups in 190 different countries. The Gideon's only goal is to spread God's word, that men and women, boys and girls, will find Christ. We've been spreading God's word for 110 years. In the past year, we've given out more than 77 million Bibles and Testaments. That's a little over 2 Bibles or Testaments every second, day and night. In the 110 years that we've been Gideons, we've given out almost 1.5 billion Bibles. I don't want you to think of us just as a Christian business and professional men's association, but I want you to think of us as an extended arm of this church, as your missionaries going to 190 different countries, many of which you couldn't get in. But because we live there, we can operate as Gideons and give out Bibles. We have Bibles printed in 84 different languages. We try to distribute Bibles in all the traffic streams of life. But we have 5 main areas that, regardless of what country we're operating in, whether it's here in the States or some foreign country, that we place our Bibles. They're mainly the hotels and the motels, the prisons, the hospitals, the schools, and to the military and police. The work of Gideon's has taken me to a lot of different churches. It's broadened my views of God's work dramatically. I've been to a lot of schools, college, and given out hundreds of testaments. And most of the time, it's with a very appreciative acceptance. Although there's times that you run into the occasional smart aleck and so forth. I remember at Evansville College down there, one of the students I offered it to said, "No, I'm not into science fiction." Well, that may have been his opinion now, but it will change. The Gideons are men of the book. We have what we call 7 spiritual objectives. and there were men of the book, were men of prayer, men of faith, men of a separated walk, men of a compassionate heart, men who witness, and men who give. As I give you some testimonies and stories of people that have gotten help through one of these Bibles, remember that every year we receive approximately 50,000 testimonies in of people that's received help from God's Word. Now, that's not 77 million, but 50,000 testimonies we receive every year. Marilyn Brewer writes from Canada, "Your Bibles do make a difference." She was in a hospital waiting surgery, and she was quite afraid. She knew she wasn't ready to die, and she was afraid that she might not make it through the surgery. And she was afraid of where she'd be if she didn't. She took the Bible out of the hospital nightstand there and began to read it. She said, "I knew I ought to give my heart to God," so she did. She said, "He come in and took away the fear. I wasn't afraid of surgery anymore." And said, "Lord, help me in surgery." Said, and after that, when I got home, said he'd taken away the desire for smoking and drinking. And said, not only did he save me, but he saved my mother and my grandmother and my son, all because of that one hospital Bible. At Evansville, there's a doctor down there whom I know, Dr. Greg White. I don't know if you know him or not, but he was a Mormon. And he was waiting on a baby to be born. He's an anesthesiologist. And sometimes babies take their own sweet time, and this one did, I guess. And so he picked up the hospital Bible and began to read it. And though he was a Mormon, he knew that he was reading God's Word, and he gave his heart to God. Last I knew, Dr. Greg White was a president of a Gideon camp there in Evansville. Last time we talked to him, he was making plans to go on an extended mission trip to Haiti. Some of these next things I'm going to tell you about, consider them prayer requests. China has the largest population in the world, something over 2 billion souls there, and they desperately need God's Word. China has a communist government, and it's not too, doesn't think too much of Christianity. But the Gideons don't do anything that's illegal. And by that I mean, we don't smuggle Bibles in or sneak them in. And I'm not condemning that personally, but that's just not our way. We go to the top and we ask permission. And in China has a cabinet, kind of like we do here in the States. And they have a cabinet level position called the Minister of Religion. This Minister of Religion happens to be a lady. And I don't think she has much higher regard for Christianity than she does Buddhism or Confucianism or some others. But the Gideon International President and Vice President went to her. They went to China, got an appointment with her, and asked permission to take Bibles into China. And she said to them, "Well, assuming I would allow you to bring Bibles into China, how many Bibles do you want to bring to China?" And they said, "Well, we would like for every man, woman, boy, and girl in China to have a Bible." And she said, "Do you have any idea what you're asking? Could you do this? Could you bring 2 billion Bibles to China?" With a great step of faith, these Gideons said, "We believe we can." I say a great step of faith because, as I told you, we had only given out in the last 110 years 1.5 billion. But they said, "We believe we can." Well, she hasn't given that permission yet, but she has loosened up the restrictions some, and for this we're grateful. We now have 2 Gideon camps in communist red China. We now have Bibles in some hotels and motels in China. If the hotel or motel is owned by a Chinese business person, we can't go in it. But if it's owned by an American or an international conglomerate, anybody other than a Chinese person, we can put Bibles in that hotel and motel. And we thank God for this window of opportunity, but we ask you to pray with us that God will open it up where everybody will be able to read His Word there. In India, it has the second largest population in the world, and it too needs God's Word. But there's a difference. In India, it's open to the gospel. And I say that with some reservations. They're begging for God's word in India. But in some areas, if you convert from Hinduism to Christianity, they just kill you. But other than a few minor problems like that, India is wide open to the gospel. They're begging for God's word. We have Gideon camps in India, and they tell us that if we could get them 100 million Bibles, they could give them out now. Not a goal they've reached to or they hoped for, but they could give out 100 million Bibles right now. These Bibles cost $5 each. And they reach about 2,300 people in a hotel or motel. The Hotel and Motel Association tells us that 1 in 4 people that come into that motel room will pick up the Bible and read some in it. They last about 6 years, and then it'll have cigarette burns on it and be written in. And the Gideons will go in and take that Bible out, tear the cover off of it, and a new paperback cover will be put on it, and then it'll go into prison somewhere where somebody like Tim will find it. These testaments cost about $1.39 each. For $139, you can put 100 testaments in about any country in the world. And I want to tell you, every cent given by churches goes to buy, print, or ship Bibles. We have overhead expenses like every other organization does. We have about 76 paid workers down in Nashville. We have about 12, 14 scattered around the world elsewhere. But we Gideons pay that through our dues or through offerings we give. That way we can come to you as a church and tell you every cent given by churches goes to buy, print, or ship Bibles. At a recent scripture blitz in India that I saw some slides of, normally the Gideons would go into a classroom and there'd probably be like 90 children in the classroom. And they'd ask permission to give a salvation message. And then, if that was given, then they would give out everybody a testament. But for some reason or another, Gideons went to this one school, and I seen some slides of it where they went. They didn't go into the classroom, they just went into the courtyard, playground area. And I say playground area rather loosely. There was no monkey bars, no slides, no merry-go-rounds. No trees, no grass, nothing but dirt. A rock wall around the school and just dirt. And the Gideons went inside the rock wall, started opening their boxes. The students come out of the school, and the Gideons started passing out testaments as fast as they could give them out. The slide showed one of the Gideons kind of being off balance, a great sea of students. One of the Gideons, one hand up, off balance, next slide showed he was gone. He'd done been walked over. He wasn't hurt because of the smaller students, but there's that much desire for God's word there. Each student was afraid that they'd run out just before they got to them, and they wouldn't get one. So there's a little bit of pushing. And it's that way all over India. They want God's word. In India, I don't know whether they can buy it or not, but they can't buy it. Because it may be available, I'm not sure, but their income in India, the average income for a whole household, is less than $1 a day. A little less than $365 a year. So it's up to us to see if they get God's word, because what they have has to go for food. At one Christian-sponsored school in India, and notice I said Christian-sponsored. The students weren't Christians. There's 182 students in the school. 4 of them claimed to be Christian. The rest of them were Hindu. But it was a Christian-sponsored school. The Gideons went in. The headmaster gave them permission to give a salvation message, which they did. And they stressed the verses in the Bible that tells of God's love to us. And then they gave everyone a testament. And after that, before they left, they said, how many students would like to have Christ in your heart? 2/3 of the class lifted their hand that they wanted Christ in their heart. Melvin Walker, one of the Gideons that was there from Pennsylvania, and wrote this article. He said, I see a gigantic harvest field in India if we can just get the true word of God to them. I want to remind you about our Gideon cards. And I know some of you are probably thinking we don't have any. But you do. I filled the rack back up back there. And so, when a loved one dies, send them a memory card. It makes a lot more difference than you may realize. When Rodney and Beth and their family passed away, we received many of these. Over 1,000 Bibles were given in their memory. And I told you, up to 2,300 people come in contact with the Bible because of one Bible. And if 2,300 people come in contact with one Bible, then 2,300,000 come in contact of 1,000 Bibles. So Rodney and Beth's memories, I'm sure they're looking over the banisters of heaven and seeing Bibles being placed around the world yet in hotels and motels in our memory. And I want my testimony to continue on like after I'm gone, like theirs is. And if somebody has a happy occasion, a birthday or graduation or something, send them in a recognition card. All of our cards now are a little more colorful than they used to be. And they've all got a story on the back of somebody that's gotten saved with a Gideon Bible. So use these cards. Or if somebody God brings somebody to your mind, send them a thinking view card. Let them know you're thinking about them and that you're thinking about the lost as well. I just received our new Gideon magazine. I opened it up when I got in from vacation. Seen this article, and I think I'm going to read it to you. It said, they're all dead. They're all dead. These are the words that still haunt Tom Moore to this day. We just climbed down from inspecting and measuring an old asphalt shingle roof on my writing room and workshop, and we're sitting in my office when Tom saw the Gideon Bible sitting on my desk. With a smile on his face, he said, you know, that Gideon Bible saved my life. Caught off guard, I asked Tom why he felt that way, and he told me the following story. While stationed at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, at the end of the Vietnam War, four buddies and I headed out to celebrate a three-day liberty. We had checked into a motel on the outskirts of Jacksonville and planned on going out that night and hitting all the bars. We were going to sow our wild oats and prove that we were young, invincible men, real Marines. After changing into my civilian clothes, I relaxed on the bed and waited for my four buddies to let me know they were ready for a night of drinking and fun. As I sat there, I picked up the Gideon Bible on my nightstand beside my bed. I opened up that wonderful Bible and began to read Luke 15, verses 11 through 32, the story of the prodigal son. I realized how this story in the Bible fit my life to a T. Then when I finished that story, I went back to the first books of the New Testament and read about both the birth and life of Jesus. I read Bible verses that I remembered as a child, including John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him that they might be saved. When I finally heard a knock on the door, assuming it was my Marine buddies, I knew I must make a decision, either to stay in the hotel room and continue reading that Gideon Bible, or join my four friends and comrades in a night of drinking. I decided to stay and continue reading the Bible, and that night I gave my life to the Lord and accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I was still reading. I was still reading the Gideon Bible hours later when there was another knock on my door. Two North Carolina State Highway troopers stood there in the early morning dawn asking me if I knew these young men. And they repeated the names of my four comrades. I said I did know them and asked the troopers why they were asking about my buddies. The state trooper then told me they had been involved in a car accident. Then he said the words that I dreaded, "They're all dead." The only thing I remember doing was taking the Gideon Bible from the motel room that night. I was still in shock and disbelief when I walked into a little country Baptist church that Sunday and turned my life over to Christ. I struggled with old addictions after that, but God cleaned me up and eventually I became ordained as a minister. I asked Tom what happened to that Gideon Bible from the motel room in North Carolina, and he said, "I kept it and I still read it every day." As we prepare to close this morning, I want to remind you there's four ways you can help the Gideons. Your gifts today will buy Bibles. Remember to use those memorial Bible cards. Recommend your best men to us. You know, a few years ago we used to see billboards that said, "Uncle Sam wants you," or "The Marines are looking for a few good men." Well, the Gideons are looking for a few good men as well. And most importantly, I'd like to ask you to pray for us. Pray for the Gideon's safety, those that are going into foreign countries, unsafe places. In the last 110 years, God has protected them, and I only know of one that's died in line of duty. I want to say thank you to the pastor and to the church for allowing me to come and share this report with you. And I'll turn the service back over to him, but if anybody has any questions or anything, feel free to ask me at any time.
So now it's our turn. The ushers will come, those that are going to play, and the offertory as well. When you give us unto the Lord this morning, and I know that God will surely make it a blessing and use it for His glory. Brother Stanley, would you pray this morning?
Lord, we thank Thee for this service. We thank Thee for the effort, what the Gideons are doing. We
yes.
Pray that Thou will bless this offering, may it touch lives, that we'll agree to Thy love and forgiveness and plan of salvation and be saved. We pray that Thou will just have Thy way. For all that Thou dost do, we want to be careful to give Thee the honor.
This morning, thank you for that offertory. Some people don't need practice. And sometimes it might make it easier if you don't have practice. That way you don't have to be so nervous prior to. They probably didn't hear a thing Gerald said, though.